The epistle for this feast of Pentecost is taken from the book, from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with diverse tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Please stand for the Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath nothing. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Please, thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this most glorious feast of Pentecost, my dear faithful, we give special thanks and adoration to the Holy Ghost, that forgotten person of the Holy Trinity, as many authors note, because of his great works in our soul, the gift of God Most High, who enters into our soul to abide with us, to bring with him sanctifying grace, the gifts, the virtues, in order to help us, to sanctify us on our path to heaven. He is indeed the very soul of our soul, the very life of our spiritual life. A specific part of his influence on our soul is his enlightening of our minds. And it's often that we think of first when we think of the Holy Ghost, that he enlightens our minds, our intelligences. And that's why we say often the prayer, Come Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Or just the short version, Come Holy Ghost, light and guide. Of course, we know he does this through his gifts, through the gift of knowledge, which helps us to understand and penetrate the truths of the faith without special study, also through the gift of understanding, which also helps us to distinguish between the true doctrine, the true faith, and errors. One example of these gifts in a soul is Blessed Clement Hofbauer, who lived in the 19th century. He was a late ordination because he struggled through his studies. So he didn't have the brightest intelligence. But because of these gifts of knowledge and understanding, he penetrated into the mysteries of the faith so deeply and so precisely that many of the dignitaries of the church would come to him and ask his advice. Is this particular book, is it orthodox, or is there heresy contained here? And he would be able to see the little subtleties because of that work of the Holy Ghost in his soul. So just as the Holy Ghost, he enters into our souls and guides us, enlightens our minds. In a very similar way, he enters into the Holy Church. He enlightens the church. Of course, his works in the church are manifold, but one of his greatest works there is to enlighten the church and to preserve the faith which is entrusted to the church, preserve it intact without error. Yes, indeed, he enters into the church on the first, on the day, he entered into the church on the day of the first Pentecost. He enters in to dwell in the church as a source of its life, the life of the mystical body of Christ. And in this way, in enlightening and protecting the church from error, the Holy Ghost, he fulfills that title, that role that our Lord gave to him, the Spirit of Truth, that title that our Lord gave to him, the Spirit of Truth. What a very profound title that is for the Holy Ghost, because he is indeed the Spirit of our Lord, and our Lord is the truth. The Holy Ghost, he is the author of all truth. He is the guide, the giver of truth, and he protects from error. And this, of course, is very important for the church, which was founded on this day of Pentecost, this giving of the Holy Ghost to protect the faith. That is a very important role that the Holy Ghost plays, and something we should never forget. And maybe to understand better how important it is, we can take a look at just how important the church is. We know that without the church, we can't be saved. Of course, our Lord could have picked many different ways to get us to heaven, but the way he did pick was to establish a church which would be the sole means to get us to heaven. Our Lord, he brought into the world the doctrine, the faith that saves souls. That doctrine alone can save souls, not the doctrine of Buddha or Muhammad or anyone else. It's the doctrine of our Lord that saves. Our Lord came to preach that faith, but as you know, he ascended into heaven. So in order to continue that preaching of the faith, that doctrine that saves, our Lord, he gathered around him 12 apostles who were supposed to then ordain bishops and priests who would extend this teaching of our Lord throughout all time. Our Lord entrusted those teachings to those apostles. He who hears you hears me. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Go into the world and preach this faith that saves, that brings souls to heaven. He entrusted this to his apostles. We can't get to heaven without the church. The church is entrusted with this duty to teach, which is done principally through the hierarchy of the church, the Pope, the bishops, the priests. But we know that the apostles themselves and all of their successors are human beings who can fail. And there's where we see how important the gift of the Holy Ghost to the church is. Our Lord, to guarantee that this treasure of the faith, this pearl of great price, would not be thrown to the pigs, in order to ensure that did not happen, he gave to his church the Holy Ghost in order to ensure that that faith was kept intact for all of time. This is what the Holy Ghost does, and our Lord made that very clear at the Last Supper. He told his apostles that they couldn't hear everything he needed to tell them right then, but that he would send the Spirit of Truth to them and that he would teach them all truth. But what is very interesting is the Holy Ghost, while teaching this truth of our Lord, he would not change anything. He would not add anything or bring anything new. Our Lord said that the Holy Ghost would not speak of himself, but what he heard the Son speak, that he would speak. The Holy Ghost will receive of our Lord and give to them. And so it's clear the Holy Ghost isn't adding anything new to this deposit of faith that our Lord has given, this pearl of great price. He's not adding anything new to it. The Holy Ghost, through his inspiration, is helping the apostles and their successors to deepen their knowledge of that faith, to see it more profoundly, more clearly, to see the beauties and the intricacies of this faith, which was there already, as the oak is in a little acorn. It was there already. But the Holy Ghost, he helps to develop that so that it can be seen in its full beauty and glory. And at the same time as helping the apostles, the hierarchy throughout history, deepen that knowledge of the faith, the Holy Ghost also preserves it from error, from being tainted by error and corrupted. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. And just in passing, something to reflect on, my dear faithful, we are the inheritors of this beautiful tradition of the church. Think for a moment. We have had 2,000 years of the action of the Holy Ghost in the church, the action of the Holy Ghost upon the popes and the bishops and the saints throughout history to help us now in our times to have this much fuller understanding of the faith, perhaps, than was had before. We have inherited a very rich treasure. And of course, we are able to receive that because the Holy Ghost has protected that treasure for us throughout all these centuries, which have not been these centuries which haven't been strangers to persecutions and heresies. That is why, my dear faithful, it does hurt us when we hear our Sovereign Pontiff say in a sermon last week that keeping the truth does not mean defending ideas, becoming guardians of a system of doctrines and dogmas, but remaining bound to Christ and being devoted to His gospel. These are the Holy Father's words. What an affront to the Holy Ghost to say that remaining faithful to our Lord and to His gospel is something other than remaining faithful to the deposit of faith, remaining faithful to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He entrusted to His church. That's an affront to the work of the Holy Ghost in the church, to preserve the faith intact and to make sure that it's handed down from one generation to the next. The Holy Father, in saying this, is falling right in line with all of the modernist heresies of these past 50, 60 years since Vatican II. This idea of the modernists, that dogma, doctrine, it evolves, that it's something that's ever-changing and ever-new. This is based on that modernist idea of faith, that faith is not an objective reality which God in His goodness reveals to us, and we, through the virtue of faith, adhere to. It's not that for a modernist. For a modernist, faith is merely this welling up of a religious sentiment within us, this religious feeling, something subjective, which then we proceed to express in a way so that we can well up that feeling again later on. And we find other people that have that same religious feeling and we associate with them. But one religious feeling isn't any good than another. And so, yes, as Catholics, incense in Latin, they give us that religious feeling, but a Buddhist gets it in another way. So for a modernist, yes, this is what faith is. It's something that's always changing, always new. It just depends on the religious sentiment of the time, which has to be, you know, these expressions of the faith have to be adapted. That is the doctrine of these modernists, which was allowed to enter the church during Vatican II. And that is why it's so sad to hear John the 23rd say that Vatican II was supposed to be a new Pentecost in the church, this coming of the Holy Ghost into His church to renew everything. Unfortunately, we see by the fruits of Vatican II that it wasn't the Holy Spirit that entered into the church, but another spirit, it seems, has entered. That smoke of Satan through a fissure in the church, that has entered. And we see now the fruits of it. Yes, we as traditional Catholics, we hold on to the faith as it was given by our Lord. That is what the Holy Ghost has done in His church, in the church. He has ensured that that faith passes down. And that's what it means to be Catholic. It's very funny that we have to say we're traditional Catholics because that's what a Catholic is. A Catholic is traditional. It's nothing other than handing from one generation to the next that pearl of great price, that treasure of the faith. And that's what we are fighting for. We're fighting for this faith that has been preserved by the Holy Ghost through these centuries, the faith of our fathers for which we are willing to die, like the martyrs were. It was to protect this faith that the martyrs, they stood up to their persecutors. And on this day of Pentecost, we remember those words of our Lord. He said that you shouldn't worry when you go in front of them what you shall say, because the Holy Ghost will speak through you at that moment. The Holy Ghost will be working to make sure that the faith remains intact, So how can the Pope then say that it doesn't matter, that we're not here to defend a system of dogmas and doctrines? Of course we are. We're here to die for those dogmas that were given to us by our Lord. That's what the martyrs did. Like a St. Catherine of Alexandria standing up in front of 50 pagan philosophers and through her words, through the Holy Ghost working in her, converting them, and then showing her conviction by dying after being laid on this wheel to torture her, then being decapitated. That is the faith that we want to die for. That is the faith that we do defend. Keeping the truth, it does mean defending doctrines and dogmas, the deposit of faith. That is what we do as Catholics, and that's what's been asked of the hierarchy. And so what a pain it is, and what an affront, a grief to the Holy Ghost to see the hierarchy leaving off this duty that they have to ensure that the faith passes on from one generation to the next. Yes, we must ask today for the Holy Ghost to set us on fire, to send down the fire, first the fire that enlightens, the fire of faith that dispels the darkness of error and ignorance, then the fire of his zeal and his charity. Zeal and charity, love for the Church, love for this faith which has been given to us, love to the point of death, even, if that's what God would ask of us. So on this day of Pentecost, we need to recall not only that the Holy Ghost is in each one of our souls when we're in grace, and that he does enlighten and instruct us, but also that the Holy Ghost is in his Church, and he enlightens his Church, he guides his Church, he preserves the faith for his Church. And so on this day, we renew our resolution to remain faithful to Rome, to eternal Rome, like Archbishop Lefebvre said in that famous declaration, we hold fast with all our heart and with all our soul to Catholic Rome, guardian of the Catholic faith and of the traditions necessary to preserve this faith to eternal Rome, mistress and of wisdom and truth. Today, on this day of Pentecost, let us pray for Holy Mother the Church, who is suffering a great crisis. Let us pray for truly a new Pentecost, not the new Pentecost, the supposed new Pentecost that John the 23rd talked about, which has led to just destruction, but really a renewal of the giving of the Holy Ghost to the Church to enlighten and guide us, to preserve the faith, so that if God should even ask this of us, that we would be willing to die for it. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.